This morning, God's Word comes to us from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, we'll be reading verse 5 through 13 of this chapter. And to set this portion of chapter 6 in its proper context, we'll also be reading verse 1 and then move on to verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you once again to turn to the back of the Psalter hymnals, this time to page 57 in the back of the hymnal. This is Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45. And this morning we'll read question and answers 116 through 118. I will read the question, and you may respond with the answer. From page 57 in the back of the Psalter, Lord's Day 45, question 116, why do Christians need to pray?
Because prayer is the most
How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? What did God command us to pray for? And the next question and answer lists the Lord's Prayer. This morning we return to our study of the Word of God as summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. We know that the Catechism covers the main topics that we deal with in our Christian life. We began this series just about a year ago. We have talked together about the Apostles' Creed and the truth about who God is, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have talked about the sacraments, the proper understanding of baptism, the proper understanding of the Lord's Supper. And just before Christmas, we spent a good deal of time talking about the law of God. And we went through commandment by commandment, reminding ourselves of what God requires of us. And now we come to the last section, the last main topic in the Heidelberg Catechism, dealing with prayer, and particularly dealing with the Lord's Prayer. We're going to this morning talk more about prayer in general, how it is we should pray, and then over the next several weeks together, we'll be looking at the Lord's Prayer petition by petition to help us to pray the way God intends us to pray. I've entitled this morning's sermon, The Art of Praying. If I was given to catchy sermon titles, which you know I'm not, but if I was given to catchy sermon titles, I would have entitled this sermon, You're Doing It Wrong. Because sometimes that's what we say to our children when they do things wrong. We try to teach our children certain things. We teach them how to set the table, how to put the knife and spoon on one side and the fork on the other side, and sometimes they mess it up and we say, no, no, you're doing it wrong, do it this way. And we teach them then the proper way. Or maybe we are trying to teach our kids how to play sports, how to swing a bat or shoot a basket, and they're doing it wrong. We say, no, no, you're doing it wrong, move your hand, move your arm like this, do it this way, don't do it the way you're doing it. We correct our children. Today we're going to talk about prayer. Who would suggest that anyone would say about any prayer, you're doing it wrong? But that's exactly what Jesus is doing in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a corrective sermon. He teaches them, you have been doing it wrong, now let me tell you how to do it right. Chapter 5 of Matthew, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus takes their understanding of the law of God and says, you haven't been understanding it properly. You're doing it wrong. Let me show you the proper understanding. And in chapter 5, Jesus goes through, we could say, he corrects their doctrine to get their thinking straight. Chapter 6 has to do not so much with their doctrine, but with their practice. It talks about the practice of giving, the practice of praying, and the practice of fasting. And what Jesus says is, you have been doing it wrong. I'm going to teach you how to do it right. This morning we talk about prayer. Our prayers. The art of praying. To be sure that we are praying in a way that God desires us to pray. But we say, won't God hear any prayer? Well, God will hear any prayer when prayed properly. And we'll talk about what that means. What is the art of prayer in the life of the believer? How should we pray? And I would suggest that Jesus teaches us there are three things to keep in mind with regard to how we should pray. We should pray sincerely, we should pray simply, and we should pray surely. How we should pray. Pray sincerely. It says in verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. We have to recognize, first of all, Jesus is not saying, he is not saying that we shouldn't pray in public. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that when you go out for dinner in a restaurant that you shouldn't bow your heads and pray before you eat. He's not saying when you're in the public place that prayer has no place there in the public realm. But what he is saying is, you must make sure that you are not praying just for show. That's what the hypocrites did. They love to stand on the street corners. They love to stand in the synagogues and pray to be seen by others. They prayed for a show. They prayed for the glory they could receive from it. Jesus is not saying don't pray in public. He's saying when you pray, it must be sincere. It must be from your heart. Not so other people will see you, but pray sincerely. He gives us some help with this when he goes on to say, and when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. There is a sense in which prayer belongs privately to ourselves. Not that it's wrong to pray in public, but our earnest prayers are poured out privately in the quiet of our own room. And even here we have to be so careful that we don't make a show of our secrecy. We don't say to our children, "Children, don't bother me because for the next hour I'm going to be in my room praying." That's again bringing attention to ourselves. No, Jesus says, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Not like the hypocrites. Not so others will see us. Not play acting. The hypocrites would play at prayer. They would make a show so they could be seen. It was not so God would hear them. It was so that they would get credit from those around them. Our confession says, how does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart. Pray honestly. Pray sincerely. Pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Praying from our heart to God's heart. Talking to our Father in heaven. Remember, God is the audience of our prayers. We are not praying when we pray out loud for the sake of others. Even in church, we don't pray for the sake of others. God is the audience of our prayers. Whether that be prayers in church or prayers at home around the dinner table or prayers in private, we are speaking to our Father from our heart. Our confession says we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, sincerely, hiding nothing, making no pretense, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. We can fool others around us. Even in our public prayers, we can fool those who hear. We can never fool God. He knows our hearts. He knows whether we are praying sincerely, humbling ourselves before Him in His majestic presence or not. How do we pray? We pray humbly, acknowledging who God is. The great God, the King over all creation, is willing to listen to us. We pray from our heart sincerely. We pray simply. Verse 7 says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Now, once again, it's not wrong to use particular phrases in prayer. It's not wrong to pray about the same things again and again. As parents, we always do that. We pray for our children every day. We pray for God's blessing upon them. We pray for God's care upon them. Jesus isn't saying it's wrong to repeat yourself in prayer. He Himself did that in the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 times praying the same thing. "Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me." So He's not saying don't repeat yourself when you pray. But He is saying don't pray like the Gentiles do, heaping up these empty words and phrases. Praying as if saying the right words or having the right phrase will somehow make God listen more. He isn't saying that we have to try to make our prayers sound more elegant than we are. We're not required to pray in Shakespearean English. If we can, that's fine. If that's the way we talk, that's fine. But God will listen to the simple prayers of His people. We don't have to always find the right word. In fact, many times it's when we stumble and we stammer that God then takes those prayers and the Holy Spirit brings those prayers before God on our behalf. Pray simply. Don't have to find proper language. God understands what we want. God knows what we want and what we need. We are to pray sincerely, we're to pray simply, and we're to pray surely. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. We can pray surely. We can pray confidently. Because God knows what our needs are, and He knows we're going to ask. We can have every confidence that God will listen to the prayers of His people when we come sincerely, when we come simply, and when we come confident, surely, knowing He will hear us. That's the glory of knowing God as Father, is He does hear the prayers of His children. Our confession says, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayers because of Christ our Lord. This is what He promised us in His Word. We have an unshakable foundation of the Word of God itself, that God has promised He will hear the prayers of His people. When we come to God, we're not just throwing off a wish. We hope this happens. But we come to Him confidently, knowing that He will absolutely hear the prayers of His people. We know He will listen. We don't always know how He will answer. Sometimes He answers exactly as we expect. We pray about a particular need or concern in our life, and God in His goodness chooses to answer that prayer exactly like we expect. Other times, God answers our prayers in very unexpected ways, better than we could have imagined. We can be sure God will hear us. We can rest on this unshakable foundation that for the sake of Jesus Christ, He will hear the prayers of His people and will answer in the way that He thinks is best. We pray sincerely, we pray simply, we pray surely, knowing God knows our needs. Be not like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Well, that leads to a somewhat obvious question. If God knows our needs before we ask Him, why should we pray at all? If God is the omniscient, knowing all things, if He is the all-powerful, able to do all things, then why bother praying? He knows it already. Why do believers need to pray? It's a very reasonable question. And the answer might seem a bit simplistic. We pray because God tells us to. We pray because God allows us to. We pray because prayer is that avenue that God Himself has given, whereby we can bring our praise, our adoration, our thanksgiving, and our concerns before Him. We pray because God said so. He told us to pray. And what a blessing that is for us. We pray because God tells us to, but we pray also because it's a blessing for us to be able to pray. God doesn't need our prayers. We need to pray. That's why He tells us to. Prayer allows us the avenue by which we can bring praise to God. We've been talking in our evening series about the use of the Psalms, and particularly in prayer, the Psalms of lament, the Psalms of praise, the hymns, all those things. We use those words because God allows us to. It gives us the blessing to pour out our hearts in prayer to God, knowing that He will listen, knowing that He will answer in the way is best. It reminds us that God is in control. We think things are sometimes so out of control, the world seems overwhelming. But then we turn to God in prayer, and we are once again humbled before Him, remembering He is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And God even uses the means of prayer to begin to calm our anxieties It reminds us He is in control and that He listens to the concerns of His people. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also, because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. We pray because God gives His grace and His Spirit to those who pray. He gives His grace to those who ask for His grace. God calls believers to come to God asking that He would shed His grace and mercy upon us. We go to God and we acknowledge our sin, our weakness, our frailty, and we are assured by Him we have been forgiven. We pray to God because He knows it is good for us to pray. And because through prayer we bring our requests and petitions. Oh, He knows them already! But God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and then thanking Him for them. Why should we pray? Because God tells us to. And because God knows it is good for us to pray. It is the vehicle He has chosen to use, the means He has chosen to use to have us request that grace and mercy from Him. And He will certainly hear the prayers of His people. What is it then we should pray for? We don't want to do it wrong. Jesus is correcting them. He says, pray then like this. Jesus gives them a model so they will do it right. What should we pray for? I like how the catechism answers that question. What did God command us to pray for? The first word, everything. Everything we need. We can come to God with everything on our minds, everything on our hearts. When we talk, children, about doing it wrong, it's not as if we're going to bring a wrong request before God. If it's a concern to us, if it's weighing us down, if it's on our hearts and minds, we bring that to God. Whether that be a concern for our physical safety or a concern in our spiritual life. What did God command us to pray for? Everything we need spiritually and physically. We can thank God for all the blessings He has given to us, all the physical things we see around us. For needs that we have physically, we can bring those before God, knowing He will hear and answer in the best way possible. For our spiritual needs, when we are hurting, when we are struggling, when we are anxious, when we are afraid, when we are angry, we bring those needs before God and we pour out our hearts to Him, knowing that He will hear and He will answer. And we can bring, of course, our deepest spiritual need to God, the relationship with Him. When we sense the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts and lives to bring us into fellowship with God or a deeper fellowship with Him, how do we express that? We express that through prayer. And we bow our knees before the God of the heavens and the earth. And we pray that He might draw us into fellowship with Him. God hears the prayers of His people. God hears the prayers through Jesus Christ. When we recognize our sinfulness, our fallenness, that we have broken God's laws, and we humble ourselves before Him, God hears those prayers. And He answers. And He forgives. If you have never before acknowledged your sin and your need for a relationship with this God, the way to do it is easy. It is not difficult. We simply pray. We pray to God sincerely from our hearts. that He would forgive our sins. We pray to God without having to find the right words. I don't know how to pray exactly. We just use the words that we have. And yet we pray surely, knowing that God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, will forgive all of His people for all of their sins. Prayer is that means God has given us to speak with Him. We're going to talk in the next few weeks about pray then like this, the Lord's Prayer, petition by petition what God gives to us. But we see in that model already, God covers our physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. He covers our spiritual needs. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. But don't miss that the prayer begins by praying for God's name, for God's kingdom, and for God's will. Jesus gives us a model here. A model of praying for physical needs, for praying for spiritual needs, but also the priority of putting God and His glory and His honor first. What should we pray for? That God might be more glorified. That He might receive more glory and honor and praise because of the way that we live. That God would forgive our sins for the sake of Jesus Christ, not only for our sake, but that His name might receive the glory and honor and praise. The Lord's Prayer gives us that priority, that God have the preeminence, that God receive the glory. Prayer is the Christian's opportunity to speak with their Father. Jesus says, when you do it sincerely, simply, surely, you're doing it right. You can pray for your physical needs, for your spiritual needs. You can pray for your prayer life. If this morning you say, you know, I just haven't really had that type of prayer life with God, that intimate communion with Him, we can pray about that. That God would give us a deeper desire to have this communion with Him. That He would give us a deeper desire to spend time with Him alone in prayer. To pray truly from the heart, not simply trying to find the right flowery words. But to pray sincerely. To pray simply. And to pray surely. When we bring that petition before God, we can be sure He will answer. Jesus encourages those around Him in their prayer life. Pray then like this. May we heed the words of Jesus Christ. To pray in the way that God intended. How should we pray? Why should we pray? For what should we pray? All of these things modeled for us, pictured for us in the Lord's Prayer. As we spend time in the next weeks going through petition by petition, it is my prayer that this is not simply one more intellectual exercise. I now understand the first petition. But that it might help all of us to grow in the art of praying. Let us join together in prayer. Lord our God, we praise You. For You are King of the universe, You are Lord of our lives. We give You honor and glory, for You are majestic and wonderful. Lord God, once again this morning, we acknowledge Your greatness and we humble our hearts before You. We know that You are great and we are small. We know that You are perfect and we are imperfect. And so we ask that for the sake of Jesus Christ, You would wash and cleanse us from all our iniquities. Lord God, You've promised in Your word that You would do that. That if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You knew this need, and You provided the answer for this need. And yet You tell us to call upon You in our need. Help us, O God, to regularly pour out our hearts before You for all the matters that face us, matters in our physical life, matters in our spiritual life. our emotions, all of those things, Lord God. Help us to pour them out before you, trusting that you will encourage us and strengthen us in the way that is best. Hear our prayer, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.